Life Church, and been here the last few years preaching here. This service looks like it's growing. Yes, it's been growing. There's more of you here. How many people stayed from the first service? You came again to the second service. Oh, there's a few of you fanatics. Well done. It's awesome. Or some of you thought that first service preach was lousy. It can only get better. I'll hang around for a second message and see if we can get him to improve. But it's great to be back with your church. Love your church. And Di and I, in the last couple of years, have just built a great friendship with David and Rochelle. Really love your pastors. Love the fact that they're so passionate about their community. The community services you run Wednesday morning, Friday morning, and you guys are getting a free lunch today. My goodness, they're looking after you, eh? And just their passion for the community here, passion for nations and missionaries, and mentioning welcoming missionaries who are here. But I know you have an annual sort of missions gathering conference, and their heart for the nations is obvious. Missions trips, pretty well, I imagine you're doing them every year. You probably do it every month if you could, David. I know you. But their passion for the nations, and just the fact that they're kind of maturing in years, they continue to love Jesus. It's always good meeting pastors who are not grumpy, pastors who are kind of enjoying life and enjoying pastoring their church. And I can tell you, having worked closely now with David and Diane with Rochelle the last 2 years, just to hear your pastor's heart for you and his care for you and his love for you and his commitment to you, I think it's getting stronger. So I love your pastors. Please put your hands together and honour your pastors today. Appreciate your pastors. Yeah, come on. That's amazing. There wasn't a whistle in the first service till I asked for it. Can anyone whistle? I love hearing whistling in the house of God. Give us a real good whistle. No. Whoa! Hello. Who was that? That's Michelle. That's amazing. Michelle. Put your hands together for Michelle. That is a whistle. Man, that is awesome. Whenever you get the opportunity, whistle in church. Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Whistles have breath, so I love hearing whistling in the house of God. And one of the reasons I'm jealous, I cannot whistle to save myself. I'm hoping to go, that's just horrendous, forget it. Michelle, you could start whistling lessons. I would join that class, learn how to whistle. I remember, I don't know if you remember, but I remember the first time I ever served the Lord. I got saved at 19, non-Christian family, and so I wasn't used to church. I'd been to a kind of few churches on and off over the years of growing up, but never any consistency, certainly no commitment to Christ. And came to Christ when I was 19, saved in a very small church, and gave my life to Jesus. I was in another nation, and I didn't know anyone else in that nation, so basically I landed there, and 2 weeks later I'm a believer. So every time the doors of the church had opened, I'd be there, prayer meeting, men's meeting, women's meeting, whatever. You know, I'd just turn it up because I just wanted to know people and connect and get to meet people and get to know the Lord. And a couple of months after I came to Christ, the church was going to put on a small church, but we were going to do a dramatization of the life of Noah. And they asked me to play Noah. Primarily because I was an old hippie, so I had a big beard and looked probably a bit wild and a bit weird. So they asked me to play Noah, and we kind of built out of the back of a stage, like the front of the ark sort of thing. I think it was fantastic, but it was a long time ago, so probably anything looked fantastic like that to me in church. And I remember on the night we did the dramatization, I was there on the front doing my best kind of actor thing, and there's a guy behind, Philip was his name, Philip Mollard, he was behind the stage with a mic saying, Noah, he's doing the God sort of thing, and I'm going, what Lord? You know, and absolutely terrible acting, totally hamming it up. What do you want, God? Build an ark. What's an ark, Lord? You know, it's shocking, horrible. But anyway, after we did the dramatization, we pulled it off, all the young people were having fun. Little Nan Bartlett came up to me. Now, Nan Bartlett was one of those ladies in the church. Now, I'm 19. Nan Bartlett looked like about 200. She was short. You know, she's about 4'10", maybe on a good day. She was very short. She had snow-white hair in a bun. And she had those piercing eyes that every time you looked at her, you felt you'd sinned. You thought, she's looking straight through me. She can see what I'm... You know, that sort of short saint, you know what I mean? If you've been around church a while, just a godly, beautiful, lovely woman. She was an amazing lady. I was a vegetarian when I came to Christ, being a hippie. And when I go around to her place for Sunday lunch, she'd have me around with a couple of the young people. She'd always give me non-meat food. She was just awesome, just loving me until I realized that steaks were a good thing again. Didn't take long, actually. But she came up to me, Nan Bartlett, with those piercing, gorgeous eyes, and grabbed my hand and looked up to me and said, "John, you were so anointed. That was wonderful." And I thought, oh, I haven't sinned. I feel anointed and good. She just kind of boosted me, encouraged me. And I tell you what, I remember that. That was 40 plus years ago. I remember that because I thought, this is the first time I've had a bit of a go for Jesus. Kind of stepped out, did something for the Lord, just served the Lord. And to have someone come up and say, "Good job, well done." An older person who could maybe be intimidated by a tall hippie guy like me, but not Nan Bartlett. I don't think anyone intimidated her. Just to serve the Lord and discover that God can use you, that God can anoint you, and that God can utilize you to bless people, to touch people, and to help people. You know, since then I've served the Lord in volunteering in our church, a youth worker, done worship leading. I've been a pastor on the team. I've led our church as a pastor. I'm just a member at our church these days. Diane's gone back. I was telling you the first service. Diane's gone back this year and started running a connect group in our church. We both started as volunteers in our church. We've been in our church for over 40 years, both of us. And one day I'll join Diane, not running a ladies' Bible study group like Diane's doing, but I'll go back to volunteering in our church because I think you have to serve the Lord all your days. I think every opportunity you want to take, whatever God's given you. And I think maybe when I'm 70 and maybe 75, 80, when I'm stopped traveling, not preaching anymore, I'm going to put my hand up and I'll say, "Pastor Jason, I'm available. What do you want me to do? Preach." He'll say, "No, I don't think so. We're good for preachers. Why don't you go on the door?" I'll say, "Great. I am going to be a brilliant door greeter. I'll be the best door greeter, smiling, happy. How you doing? Welcome to church." I'll rugby tackle all the visitors who are trying to rush out the door at the end of service. "No, you're not going anywhere. Come back in here. There's lunch here for you." I just want to serve the Lord, even if I can get into my 90s and still do something to serve the Lord. Maybe I'll just be at home praying every day for the pastors and the leaders of the church. I'm going to serve the Lord as long as I've got breath and I've got the capacity to do it. And I want to take you today to one of the great chapters on serving God. This is a beautiful chapter, Joshua chapter 24. And Joshua is an older man. He's served the Lord many days. He died at the age of 110. Anyone here want to go to 110? There's a few of us. Kind of like some going, "No, no, no." Who'd like to crack a ton? Who'd like to get to 100? Yeah, I wouldn't be bad. If we had our health that's kind of all good and our capacity, I'd like to annoy people in my 90s. I'm going to be fun being an older guy in my 90s and kind of just being annoying to people. Just kind of stirring them up. Okay, come on, just grabbing some. No, where are you? Where are you? 104. That is awesome. God bless you. Yeah, let's give it. 104, and here on Sunday in church. Fantastic. That could be us, Dale. No, Dale's not so keen on 100. I'd love to get to 90, because when you're 90, you don't have to prove anything. And I just would wander around. I'd come up to young people like Dave and say, "What are you doing, sonny? Serving Jesus? You know, looking after your wife? Looking after your kids? Come on." And because you're old, you can push them and they can't push you back. You kind of poke them and say, "You been tithing? You been tithing? Come on, tell Uncle John." And you wander away and say, "Oh man, I'm not going near that old." No, I won't be like that. I'll be loving and encouraging, but every now and again I'll poke them in the ribs and say, "Come on. Let's keep serving the Lord. I want to do that." Anyway, Joshua's 110 when he dies. Before he dies, this chapter is in the latter part of his life, and he gathers the whole nation together. I want to take you through this chapter. It has some great truths, some encouragement, and some insights around this whole idea of serving. Joshua 24, verse 1. "And Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, the leaders, the judges, the officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says.'" And now he begins to move into the first person representing God. He actually prophesies for quite a while. God speaks through him, using Joshua as his spokesman. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. Now, that word worship will appear 16 times in this chapter, but primarily it'll be translated serve. It's a Hebrew word, abad, but here in another place it's translated worship. I don't know why. All the other 14 times it's translated serve. And whenever you see a word repeated in a chapter, it's there to remind us that there's an emphasis, there's a theme, there's a flow that the writer of the chapter wants us to connect with. And the theme of this chapter is about serving the Lord, wholehearted service. And God begins to prophesy through Joseph. I took you, verse 3, I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him through Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Now, I want you to notice something here, that what God is going to do, and I'll continue to read in a moment, is summarize four of the first six books of the Bible. What I just read then is a summary of Genesis. And you're going to see a summary in a moment of Exodus, Numbers, and of Joshua. And it's like God goes through the history of the nation and summarizes these books in very short, as you can see in a verse or two, a short snapshot, because there's truths he wants you to know about serving the Lord. There's going to be an explosion of this word serving in a few verses after God has finished prophesying through Joshua. But he wants to establish in the heart of the people the right foundation for serving. Because you can serve with the wrong foundation. If you serve because people applaud, people pat you on the back and thank you. And there's nothing wrong with that. I love, as I've done this morning, I love honoring pastors and leaders and anybody who's using their gifts to serve. I love applauding, encouraging, appreciating them. I don't have any problem with that at all. Give honor to whom honor is due, the Bible tells us. I love honoring people, but it's not the primary foundation of serving. If you serve because you get a buzz from using your gift, you feel, wow, I'm kind of feel useful, I feel purposeful, I feel like things are kind of working for me and flowing through me, again, that's not a primary foundation. You're meant to feel good about using your gifts. You're meant to get a buzz about serving and helping and loving others, but it's got to be a secondary foundation. If you serve with wrong foundation, what happens is when the applause is removed, and when the feeling good about serving is removed, what is there? There's, I don't think I'll bother doing this anymore. No one notices what I do. I don't really enjoy it anymore. And if they're your foundations and they get pulled out, then you kind of go, I don't think I'll bother. Yeah, I don't think I'll kind of do it. And what God is trying to establish in the heart of Israel and in your heart, in my heart, is right foundations. And these foundations are locked into four of the first six books of the Bible. The very first one is Genesis. Listen to it, I'll say it again. I took your father, Abraham, from the land beyond the Euphrates. I led him throughout Canaan. I gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country. One of the themes of Genesis is that God says, I chose you. I picked you. You're mine. You belong to me. Abraham, you didn't say one day, you know what, I just might leave this country and just go where somewhere is and there'll be a land for me. God says, I chose you, Abraham. One of the primary foundations of serving the Lord is that we respond to the challenge to serve the Lord. Why? Because he chose you. He picked you. He decided that he wanted you as his son, as his daughter. He wanted connection with you. He wanted to be your father. I remember in primary school, you know, in primary school, you'd go out at the oval at lunchtime and you'd kind of get with all your mates and you'd choose teams to play footy or cricket during lunchtime. And you'd be standing there and the two best cricketing guys, and I was a really good cricketer in primary school and high school, captain of my high school cricket team. So I'd generally be one of the guys who'd say, okay, I'm going to be one of the captains. I'd just bully my way into that role and there'd be another guy and we'd pick people. Of course, you know who we'd pick first? The best players, absolutely, the bowlers, I'll have you and you. And there'd be some sort kind of runt of a kid down the back going, you know, he's got glasses and he looks a bit nerdy, maybe cross-eyed. and you look at the other captain and say, do you want him? Because I don't. Now, that's what it was like in footy season for me. I was a useless footballer. So in footy season, winter, the tables are reversed. I would go out there at lunchtime and go, oh no, here we go. We're going to play the old captain's pick again. I would never be a captain at the footy. And then this guy, my mate, would go out there. Then Ian Slater, my other mate. Then this kid who could kick long, booming, torpedo, punts. He'd get picked really early. And then it'd be like me and the nerdy kid left behind. I say, man, I hope they pick me before you, mate, because if they pick me after you, I am dead. You know, God's not like that. He says, I'm having you. You might feel a bit nerdy, but I'm having you. You might feel like you haven't got much to offer, but you're mine. You might feel like you're a bit useless, but I pick you. I picked you in Jesus before the foundation of the world. Before you knew me, I had already decided, Diane, I'm having you. You're mine. Now you carry that foundation around inside you. That foundation starts to settle your serving. Because when the applause stops, and when it doesn't feel really good to serve the Lord, you go back to what, Lord, you know what? You chose me. You chose me. You picked me. I'm special. I'm special. I'm valuable. I'm important. The cross tells us that. You should tell yourself that. You're important. You're valuable. You're special. If you say other words in your head, they're not healthy, because the cross doesn't say that. The cross says, you're important. I picked you. Now we go on to Exodus, verse 5. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea. The Egyptians pursued them with the chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea, but they cried to the Lord for help. This is all in Exodus. And he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them, covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time, 40 years actually. That's the book of Exodus in just a matter of three verses. God says, not only I chose you, I delivered you. I redeemed you. I bought you with the blood of my son. And the foundations of serving are this. I chose you, I picked you, but I delivered you. I redeemed you. If you can carry in your heart a sense that God has paid a price for you, it will move you and motivate you towards serving him. When you feel this sense of, I've got a debt that I can never repay. I owe the Lord everything. I was a 19-year-old hippie when I got saved, broken, battered, and finished. If I hadn't found Jesus, I would have taken my own life. I had tried a couple of times already, got really close to taking my own life before I was 90. I know if I hadn't found the Lord, I would not be alive today. No doubt about that. I carry in my spirit and the heart the sense of, I've been delivered. I've been redeemed. God has not only chosen me, he's broken me out of darkness and out of sin and out of the world and the flesh and the devil. And I can serve him. Why? Because of applause? Well, I don't mind getting applause. I don't mind a pat on the back. I don't mind feeling great when I serve in my right area and it works and bears fruit. I don't mind it. But if none of that comes, I serve him because he delivered me. I serve him because he redeemed me. I owe him. Will my service ever repay him? Of course not. But out of a sense of gratitude and love and a response of, Jesus, you are so awesome. I refuse, totally refuse, to sit back and do nothing. You know, Diane said to me, I think it was earlier this year, might have been like last year, she said, I wouldn't mind going back and running a connect group in our church. I thought, that's typical of my wife. She, like me, has come from some brokenness and gotten redeemed and saved. She knows she's owing a debt she can never repay. But just out of this heart, Diane, of serving, she said, you know what, I'm going to be a... We used to be the senior pastors of our church. We had a place with that. It's a great place. It's got some status with it. And when Diane went back and said, you know what, I'll be a connect group leader, a volunteer. When I tell people, I've told a few people this privately, I've had people kind of almost tear up and go, wow, isn't that awesome? I said, yeah, one day I am going to be a greeter in our church one day. If I live long enough and if people start inviting me to preach, I'm going to do something. If it's greeting, that's it. If it's weeding, no, maybe not weeding. It might be a line, oh, whatever. But I'm delivered. I'm redeemed. I don't think when you've been brought out of darkness. I don't think you can just sit in light and do nothing personally. And some of you have stopped serving because the applause stopped. People stopped encouraging you. Some of you stopped serving because it just got too hard. Can I suggest to you, you get some other foundations in? Just renew them. They're already there. I know they're there. Just renew them. You're chosen. You're important. You're valuable. You're delivered. You're redeemed. Christ has paid a price. Serve him out of that heart. Okay, then he goes on to another book. Numbers. Skips Leviticus. Well, I guess there's reasons to skip Leviticus, but anyway, goes straight to Numbers. Verse 8. I brought you to the land of Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. I fought against you. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you and took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. This is all out of Numbers. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Third thing is, you're chosen, you're delivered, God has made you a champion. God has caused you to have victory. God is wanting you to rise as a champion, as a victorious person, as someone who has seen sin and has conquered sin, someone who has even seen failure and defeated failure, someone who has seen things come against you and you've risen against them and said, you know what, I'm going to defeat those things. God's put a spirit of a warrior and a fighter in you. And if you begin to rise in serving out of this foundation, you'll say, you know, whatever comes against me in my service, I'm going to defeat it. And there'll be things, when you decide to put your hand up to serve the Lord. You know, I was talking, we've had a very short chat with Yvonne, who's doing missionary work over in South Africa, is it? South Africa? I reckon, Yvonne, I reckon you would have had the occasional battle in serving the Lord in South Africa. Just the occasional little dust up, you know, just minus. Man, you got to fight on your hands. When you decide to serve the Lord, you're going to have things come against you. There'll be sickness come against you. This is probably not going to encourage anyone to serve the Lord, is it? You're going to kind of have things come against you where you kind of feel, oh, what is that? Is it a difficult atmosphere around my world? There are problems going on now with my kids because I've said I'll serve the Lord. The Lord wants you to have a foundation in you that you are a champion, you are a victor. Through the name of Jesus, you can defeat every opposition that comes against you. You're chosen, you're delivered, you're a champion, you are destined to be victorious. I mean, you get these foundations rolling around inside you. It doesn't matter whether you get pats on the back or not, and whether Pastor David knows you're doing anything or not, or whether it feels good or whether it feels difficult. Inside you, there is this machine. God chose me. God redeemed me. Oh man, I am built. I am built. This thing will keep fighting me, but I'm going to beat you. I've had sometimes in my life where the devil's just been, sometimes the devil is an idiot. Sometimes he's pretty smart, but sometimes he's an idiot, and he just goes too far. You know, that little kind of over, and you go, okay, that's it. I've had enough. I remember when we first moved into our place in Scarborough, things kept going wrong. I remember the day the garage door blew shut. The door between your garage and your house blew shut. Huge wind, and Di's thumb was in the door. It's like, oh, yeah. That's horrible things to you. Sorry to bring it up, but anyway. We have pictures of it right now on the screen. I'm kidding. And it was like, that's enough. I've had enough of you, devil. I'm a champion. I'm a victor. Just felt like there were little naughty demons doing stuff right now. I was like, boom, get them out of the house. Whatever's going on, it's not every door banging is the devil, trust me. But sometimes you just know the opposition is just coming and coming. Sometimes the devil just goes too far and goes, you're an idiot, I'm having you now for breakfast. And you have to have in your spirit this sense of, God's given me victory. God's made me a champion. I can defeat these things. And then verse 11, we're into the fourth book, Joshua. Joshua's own book. This is God still prophesying. Then you crossed the Jordan, came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings, which did not do it. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. God's chosen you, delivered you, made you a champion, and he's got a land, a place for you. every single one of you hearing my voice, God's got a place for you. There's an inheritance. There's a place where your giftedness can rise in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's a place where your abilities, your skills, what you can do that no one else can do like you do it, there's a place for you. I think one of the things we struggle with as Australians, compared to Americans, if you've ever traveled in America or hung out with Americans, Americans carry with them, we can mistake it for being boastful or arrogant. You see it in sports interviews with an Australian sports guy after they've won the game. He'll say, yeah, I had a good game, but it's all about the team. And look, I was okay, but the team, you know, we really worked together. The boys all did it together. And that's how an Australian interview will go with a sports guy. You interview like an NBA guy, a basketballer in America after the game. He said, man, you were awesome tonight. Yeah, I was awesome. How good am I? I mean, I just shot so many good shots. I'm incredible, man. The whole American persona, as Australians, we go, my goodness, you're arrogant. It's not arrogance. They just have an inner-built confidence. You actually see it in their children. It's quite remarkable. They have an inner-built confidence that just saying, I'm good, is normal for them. Yeah. I just go, yeah, I'm okay, but yeah, but our team, we're good. I wonder sometimes if we need in our hearts to go, you know what? I've got a place and I'm good at it. There's a role for me to play and I can shine in it. And some of our kind of egalitarian, everyone at the same level thing, I think it damages us. I think there's a place for us to rise and say, yep, there's a place for me here. I'm just going to move into it, begin to serve, and you watch me begin to shine. Now, I wouldn't encourage you to walk around saying, watch me, baby, I'm shining. That won't work in Australia. But in your heart and in your spirit, you can carry this sense of, I'm good. I got somewhere to go. I got somewhere to do. So this is the four books, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, and Joshua. Then Joshua stops prophesying and begins to declare to the people, verse 14 and 15. Now look at this. Seven times the word serve will be here in the Hebrew. One time it's translated worship, but seven times this word. So Joshua, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable in you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, you know your Bible. There's two things in here I want to say to leaders, to people who are serving in this church. If you're volunteering or leading anywhere in this church, here's two verses for you to meditate on and consider. And I want to show you two principles out of these verses. Number one, challenge people to serve the Lord. Ask people to serve the Lord. Challenge them. Just as Joshua did to the whole nation. Come on, step up, serve the Lord. If you're already serving in this house, you know people who are doing nothing in this church. They're coming Sunday by Sunday. They enjoy the church, enjoy the facilities, enjoy your pastor, enjoy all the preaching, but you're doing nothing. Those of you who are serving, what I want you to do in the next 7 days is hunt someone down and drag them into serving. Well, maybe not that hard. Go up to someone and say, hey, why don't you come and help me in what I'm doing? Why don't you come and help me in serving? Never say a person's no for them. You can do that. You think, oh, they're too busy. I'll go and ask Joan. Nah, she's too busy. Oh, she's got a lot on at the moment, family stuff. That's saying a person's no for them. Never do it. Let them say it themselves. If you're a leader here, go up and challenge people and say, like Joshua, now fear the Lord, serve him with all faithfulness. Come on, you're doing nothing. Stop doing nothing. Start serving the Lord. Yes. Now, your pastor is a lovely pastor. I'm a nasty guest speaker. So I'll be a bit tougher on you than your pastor. But if you're serving and leading this house, make it every opportunity you can. Join me. Come on, let's serve the Lord. Come on, stop doing nothing. Get involved in it. Don't say people's no's for him. The second thing is be the model, as Joshua says here. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Model to people the spirit of serving. My grandson, Jack, he's a gorgeous boy. He loves his sport. So this summer, excuse me. this summer he got into the Big Bash cricket, and cricket was on. So every time we go to his house, he wants to play cricket. Every time we go to our house, he wants to play cricket. Down the park, wants to play cricket. So we're playing cricket in his backyard, and I'm batting. He always likes to bat first, but I get him out, and then I have a bat. It's pretty easy when you're this old. And I'm playing, and I'm hitting the ball. And then he got me out, and I threw the bat away. And immediately I threw the bat away. I thought, oh, no. You know what, Jack's going to do next time he gets out? He's going to throw the bat away. I ran and grabbed the bat and said, sorry, Jack, I shouldn't do that. Gave him the bat because I want to teach him how to be a good sportsman, how to model sportsmanship so when he got out. So whenever he gets out, when we're playing cricket, he's on the footy now. Footy season's changed. He's got his AFL footy tips in. 6 years old. My goodness, what is going on with that? I'm making sure if he throws the bat away, I said, Jack, we don't do that. We don't do that. We pick the bat. What am I doing? Modeling. If you're serving the Lord, serve in such a way that people go, wow, that's pretty cool. Wow, that's awesome. I want to be like that person. You can inspire others to serve who are doing nothing in the house by the way you carry yourself in your service. People look at you and go, cool. Verse 16, then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from the land of slavery. They begin to repeat what God has prophesied, Exodus, and perform those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey, Leviticus and Numbers, among all the nations through which we traveled, all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove them out before us, all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. That's a great response, isn't it? We're up for it, Joshua. We will serve the Lord. That's a great response from the people. Listen to Joshua's response. Joshua said to the people, verse 19, you are not able to serve the Lord. What? Imagine, Pastor Dave, if you did a message on serving, or after this morning, everyone comes up to you and says, Pastor Dave, I am just so moved and encouraged. I'm putting my hand up. Whatever you want me to do, if it's the weeding, greeting, whatever you want to do, I'm doing it. Would you say to them, you're not able to serve the Lord? No one says it. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. It's not exactly encouraging, isn't it? If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you, make an end of you, but after he's been good to you. I mean, people are going, yes, we're in. Joshua says, nah, you're not. Slaps him around a bit. What's he doing? He's doing what every good leader will do. He knows that a word commitment is just that, a word commitment. It's lip service. And what Joshua is pushing back on them because he wants the heart. He wants to make sure they're going to overcome every barrier, because when people, and even you can sit here hearing a message like this and Holy Spirit stir your heart and you start to go, you know what, I need to up my serving. I need to put my hand up. I need to actually talk to Pastor Dave and Rochelle. I need to get involved. I need to bend my back a little bit around the house. And you know what, that can just be a thought. Because sometimes you'll go away from a meeting like this and say, you know what, I'm too busy. You know what, I got a full life. I couldn't afford to do anything. You know what, actually, I haven't got anything to give. What was I thinking in that meeting that I thought I could actually do something that would be helpful or useful? You know what, I tried that before and it failed, and I don't want to get hurt again. You see, there are all sorts of obstacles and barriers that we put up. And Joshua, as a leader, is just saying, hey, I want more than lip service. I don't want just the people of God saying, yeah, we're good to go. I want a full heart commitment here. You've been chosen. You've been delivered. You're a champion. God's got a place for you. Now commit. I want everything. I want all of you. Joshua is asking with a huge challenge in these people's hearts. And I love their response in verse 21. But the people said to Joshua, no! I love that. No! No way, man. We will serve the Lord. I love that. I mean, Joshua says, nah, you're a rebellious, sinful mob. You don't want to serve the Lord. He pushes back on them. Like, no! We're up for it. Come on. We're convinced God's spoken to us. You've stirred our hearts. You've told us and you've shown us how to serve the Lord. We want in. Joshua says, you're witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. And they say, yes, Yes, you're right, Joshua. We're proclaiming it. We're in heart and soul. And what Jesus Christ is after, he is not just after your faith. He is not just after your church attendance. He is after your wholehearted commitment to serve him all the days of your life. Thank you. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you. Yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Get rid of every obstacle. Those of you already serving, this speaks to you also. It's not just to people to get people kind of going, yep, I'm in. But those of you serving, get rid of any barrier that will stop you serving with skill and excellence. If you play an instrument or sing up here, if you're on the door, get better at anything you do. If you run a life group, if you're involved in kids ministry or youth ministry or greeting, whatever you do, helping out in the kitchen or in the cafe or the Connect Lounge, whatever you do, maybe helping out at Alpha in the community groups. There's so many things in this church going on. It's crazy. Whatever you do, upskill, get better at it. Commit yourself to being better in all that you do. Commit yourself in attitude to always having a brilliant attitude. I find it remarkable that you can change your attitude in 5 seconds flat. In fact, it takes a millisecond. Have you ever been really grumpy and upset with someone? Maybe grumpy and upset with yourself. You've done something wrong. You're going, oh, you idiot. What are you doing? And you're in a mood and everything. The phone rings. You pick it up and say, hi, John here. Anyone ever done that? I got my hand up. You can change your attitude quick as that. It doesn't take a minute. It doesn't take 30 seconds. When you come to serve the Lord, whether it's on Sunday, or Wednesday, Friday, Thursday night, Alpha, you probably need some more help as 100 people. My goodness, it's huge. You can just go, I've had the day from hell. But when I walk in here, I'm smiling. Good to go. I'm ready. Bring it on. That's the spirit. That's the heart of a person who's gotten every obstacle, every god, every idol. Sometimes our grumpiness can be an idol. I'm going to let everyone know what a bad day I've had. How's your day been? Miserable. Miserable. Let me tell you all about it, blow by blow. Well, thank you for coming today. It's very depressing to have you here. Not the deal. Okay, I've had a miserable day. So what? I'm here to serve the Lord. Get rid of every obstacle. I love the end of this chapter. I'll finish with this. Verse 29. After these things, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, he's called Moses' assistant. But here at the end of his life, he's called the servant of the Lord. And it's fascinating to me that the last part of his life, the last delivery of his life, of message to the people of God is, serve the Lord. Verse 31, Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua, one of the elders who outlived him. Let me close your eyes where you're sitting. You've been chosen. You've been delivered. You're made victorious. Then there's a place for you, a land for you, through Jesus. That's the foundation for serving. Not just applause, not just satisfaction, not for the status it might give you of being in a certain role. God's chosen you, delivered you, made you a champion through Jesus, given you a place, a gift, an ability no one else can do. You have a personality that is as unique as your thumbprint. You have a style that is as unique as your iris. Every iris is unique. And today the Lord's saying, serve me. There's people here already serving the Lord, and the Lord's saying, get better at it. Come on. upskill, increase your skills, get more skillful at whatever you do, get more skillful, learn, educate, get knowledge, get wisdom, get understanding, upskill. Let your attitude be always excellent, always excellent. Some of you are not serving in this house for whatever reason, multiplicity of reasons, but the Lord's saying, time to serve me. It's time to serve me. It's time to change. It's time to not just come and be, it's time to come and do. Not just to come and be, but to come and do. To utilize what He's given you in this place to bless others. While every eye is closed right across the congregation. Those of you already serving, I want you to make a great decision today to commit to improving your service. To get more skillful, to even put on that attitude of joy, optimism, faith. Kind of bright spirit. When you serve with a bright spirit, it attracts people. You serve with a dull spirit, it has this kind of off-putting effect. But you're making a decision today to upskill your abilities, but also to upskill your attitude. That's a challenge I've got for you today. Those of you who aren't serving, and the Lord is stirring your heart today and saying, hey, come on, I've chosen you, delivered you, made you a champion. Take your place. Take your land. Every eye closed right across the congregation. I want you to make a great decision about either upskilling or about committing to serve. You might say, I don't know, what do I do, John? I'm not trying to figure out every detail. I want you to make a decision. I'm going to serve. I've sat for long enough. I'm going to serve. Seal this decision now. Affirm this decision by doing one simple thing. Raise your hand high in the air and put it down again. Go ahead and do that right now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks up the back. Thanks here at the front. Thanks in the middle, thanks in the middle. Go ahead, raise your hand really high if you haven't already and put it down again. Go ahead, thank you in the middle. Go ahead, thank you here in the middle. Go ahead and do that right now. Make that decision. I'm going to get better at what I'm doing, or I'm going to start doing in a fresh way, fresh start. Some of you here need a fresh start in serving the Lord. It's kind of you ran out of gas for it, and you need a fresh start. You actually need a fresh anointing. You need a reviving of that heart. And it's not a lack of intent or heart. It's just, I don't know, John. The Lord's going to give you a fresh touch, fresh healing in your heart. We're going to go, okay. Jesus, because of you, Jesus, not because of the status or the applause or the good feelings. I'm going to do it for you, Lord. Go ahead. If you haven't yet raised your hand, go ahead and raise your hand right now. Thanks up the back. Seal that decision. Seal it right now. Seal it right now. It's a great decision to serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we will. It's a decision. We will. It's a decision. We will serve the Lord. Last call. If you haven't yet raised your hand, affirm that commitment. Go ahead and do it right now. I have such a sense of people sitting here who have been disappointed in serving, but God is wanting to renew you. Thank you. Thank you. God's wanting to renew you as you step up. You may be here today, you may be coming for a few weeks, it might be your first time, but you've never made a decision to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead that you might have eternal life. You've never made that decision to put your faith solely in Christ and that decision to follow Him with your life. You've probably been trying to work out life by yourself. Maybe when I was 19, I tried to do the same thing, and maybe you're just like me, but today, you know, today is the day of your salvation, and you want to today make that decision. In fact, you're deciding right now, John, I'm going to believe in Christ and follow Him today. Today, this is the day of my salvation, John. You're making that decision right now because you know what it means to believe in Jesus. You know, to believe in him means forgiveness of sins and eternal life coming to you. If you're making that decision today, as you're making it, I want you as well, just again, to raise your hand high and say, that's me, I'm making that decision today. Go ahead, raise your hand high and put it down again. Just to kind of affirm that commitment that's going on already in your heart. Do that right now. Make that decision right now. Place your hand high in the air. Affirm what you're deciding. Father, I'm praying right now for every soul in this building. Those who are upskilling, those who are making decisions to step up. I'm asking for grace that what's been decided on the inside will work out on the outside. That the commitment's been made by hearts today, that people will say, yep, that's me, I'm doing this. Give them an anointing, refresh and renew hearts in serving, I pray, Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord.